Our scripture today comes from Luke 23, beginning with verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, we're continuing our series concerning Jesus' last words from the cross. What did he say? And why did he say it? 2 weeks ago, we focused on, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And we recognize that we are part of the them. His prayer was directed at us, as well as all those gathered there. And then last week, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew what it was to feel abandoned, but he continued to pray and to cry out in faith. And in John, we know that Jesus also said, "Woman, behold your son." We won't cover those words in this series, but obviously Jesus loved his mother, and so even from the cross, he made sure she was cared for after his death and resurrection and asked John to see to it. Today, we're going to consider Jesus' last conversation with another human being. Oh yes, he'll still say, "I thirst," and he will shout, "It is finished," from the cross. But our text today from Luke records the last conversation Jesus has with another human being. And you know, it said a lot can be known about a person by the company they keep. Well, a lot can be known about Jesus by the company he keeps. As you read the gospel stories, one of the consistent themes is that often Jesus was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and he was constantly being questioned and hounded about it. You see, instead of the pious, Jesus hung out with sinners, lost sheep, those who had strayed far from God. And that always made the pious people feel like, you know, here's a guy who's supposed to be pious, and instead, he's associating with the wrong folks, the reprobates. Let's assume for a moment that I go over and I start meeting with the girls from an area strip club and have coffee with them at the coffee shop next door. I mean, how long do you think it would be before the word would get out to everyone I know on social media? And once it did, most would say, "Isn't that great? Pastor Bob is trying to reach out to those girls at the club." But I assume some would say, "I always knew there was something about him." Because that's kind of how we are. The religious people didn't like what Jesus was doing. They thought it said something about his character that wasn't good. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Bad company corrupts good character." And so this is what we see about Jesus throughout his ministry. He hangs out supposedly with the wrong crowd. And you see, the wrong crowd or non-religious people didn't like to hang around the religious people. They know how they felt around them. Religious people kind of creep them out, hang around them, and they felt bad about themselves. Always had to watch their language, couldn't talk the way they did everywhere else, and they didn't like feeling judged or looked down on. Some people feel that same way today. their friends invite them to church, and they say, "Are you kidding? Not me, because I know what it feels like when I walk into church. I'm just sure that everyone's looking at me funny, like I don't belong. I don't need that." And here's the thing. When Jesus was around, those non-religious people didn't feel small. They didn't feel like nobodies or sinners. They felt acceptance. They felt hope. They didn't like to hang around with the religious folks, but they did like to hang around with Jesus. And why was that? Because He accepted them. He appreciated them as regular people who needed to hear the good news about God as much as anybody. And you know what? This is the way we're meant to be too. Persons whom non-religious people find welcoming, caring, hospitable. We ought to make every effort to help them feel comfortable around us. We see that Jesus laid out His mission about this in Jericho at Zacchaeus' house. When He came to Jericho, He initially was passing through, but when He noticed Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, up in the tree trying to catch a glimpse of Him as He passed by, He stopped and He said, "Zacchaeus, come down here immediately. I gotta go to your house today." When you eat with someone in the Middle East, you're having fellowship. You're connecting with them. You're letting them in to your circle. You are friends. The religious people thought, "You've got to be kidding. Why would he eat with someone like that?" And Zacchaeus invites all his friends over, other tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus was sharing with them, telling them stories about the kingdom of God, laughing in a way that the people there wanted to know more about what he had to say. And the religious people outside are wondering, why is he eating with those sinners? And Jesus stands up and he says, "Some people don't get it." And then he lays out his personal mission statement, a passage I would encourage all of us to memorize, Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Post "lost" in the chat. That's why he came. It's interesting that even in his death, Jesus is still associating with people like that. People who are apart from God, who have strayed, who are lost. The two criminals on his right and left were like the robbers in the Good Samaritan story, people who used violence to commit their crimes, who didn't hesitate to hurt people. And Jesus is dying on the cross with them. And somehow it's fitting that Jesus' final conversation was with them. Even in his death, Jesus is reaching out to non-religious people to offer them good news. I'd like our vision here at Christ Church to have a similar emphasis, that we too would focus on helping non-religious people become fully devoted disciples of Jesus Christ, that we would be particularly open to them and not scorn them when they come or gasp when they say a bad word here or there, but instead we would be people who would help them feel welcomed, loved, and not made to feel small or as if they are nobodies. That's who we are. And here's the thing. When we stop reaching out with love and compassion to the people who are lost sheep, we stop being the church. We stop being the body of Christ, and we are no longer doing the things that Jesus did. So here's a question from this text. Do people who don't know Jesus feel comfortable around you? Or do they feel a bit icky by the time they're done? Do they feel smaller, or do they feel more important than they thought, or at least more loved than they thought by the time they are finished with conversation? Are you willing to associate with people whom others would consider riffraff? Would you show them compassion, kindness, and love because that's what it means to be the church? A few years ago, after an upward celebration, One of our Upward coaches, Matt, said that he wanted to talk with me. He was part of our celebration. He performed a rap for the kids and gave away CDs to anyone who wanted one. What a great guy. But afterwards, he said this. He said, "I just love this church. I love the way it is so open to everyone." He said, "I haven't experienced that in every church that I've been in. You guys really help people feel welcomed and accepted, and I love that about this church. I was pleased to hear that about you, and you should be too. It's not automatic that people feel welcome today, and we've got to understand that and be extra diligent in our efforts. So here's a question. What would happen if we left here each week committed to loving, caring, and sharing compassion in Jesus' name with people who are lost? Would we find anyone? I know we would. Would they appreciate our help? I think they would. Would the world be a better place? I know it would. So, let's do it. By your baptism and your profession of faith, you've already been commissioned in Jesus' name. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ, and this is what we see in our story. All the Gospels say Jesus was surrounded by criminals. Only Luke tells us what they said. And each one says something different about Jesus. Inches away from him, they could have touched him if their hands were free. And we see two options in these two criminals for how we can respond to the gospel. One criminal's response to Jesus, anger and insult. He looks at Jesus and he sees a failure. He claimed to be the Messiah, but he's dying on a cross. He seems weak and ineffective. And the thief in anger says, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Come on, man." And a whole host of people today look at Jesus and say, "You got to be kidding, right? A guy who lays down his life and you want me to follow him?" They don't understand what he's doing on the cross. It's scandalous to them, but there's another way to look at it. The other criminal's response to Jesus was hope and belief. The criminal on the right had seen Jesus' response, seen compassion in what Jesus says and what he prays, and he thinks to himself, "You know, my life is hopeless right now. I'm going to die in a matter of hours, but maybe he is my hope. Maybe he's right. Maybe there is a God who loves people, who cares for the hopeless. Maybe there is a God who believes in second chances, who's willing to forgive. Maybe there is another world beyond this life, and Jesus is somehow connected to it." So in hope and belief, he turns and he says in Luke 23:42, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And here's the question Luke asks for anybody, whether you read his gospel or not. Which of the two criminals are you going to be? Will you turn your back on him, ignore the picture of God's love, and dismiss the cross as idiotic? Or will you look at it and say, "That truly is my only hope"? Here's the thing. We may not have hurt people physically. We may not have committed the kinds of crimes these guys did, but every one of us has done things that we are ashamed to admit, things that we don't want to have to tell anyone else about. Our lives are caught up with these two thieves on the cross, and we need to recognize that. And one of them says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What does he mean? Think of me every so often? No. If you look into the Old Testament, you find when God remembers someone, he delivers them. The most dramatic example is when God remembers his covenant with Abraham and delivers his people from bondage in Egypt. The thief is asking Jesus to deliver me. And there's tremendous mercy in Jesus' words. Luke 23:43, today you will be with me in paradise. This is such a powerful passage of scripture. This is a hardened criminal. He's not done one good thing for some time. He doesn't understand the Trinity or justification by faith. He's not been baptized. All he has is a mustard seed of faith. Jesus, remember me. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. The word paradise is a Persian word for garden. He surely is talking about heaven, but some think he uses this word with purpose. In his death and resurrection, Jesus was removing the curse human beings experienced after the fall. Remember, after the fall in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Paradise was lost, according to John Milton's classic. But now, paradise is possible again because Jesus has canceled the curse. Though this world is wonderful in many ways, I think Jesus is speaking of a paradise to come that will blow us away. Here are some things to remember about Jesus' words from the cross today. Number one, if we're not loving the people Jesus loved, we're not being the church. We're just playing church, just pretending. Even in his death, Jesus was extending compassion and grace to outcasts and sinners. Two, if we don't recognize ourselves in this scene, we are missing out on what he's teaching. We too are deserving of the punishment for our actions. The question is, will we turn away from Jesus or turn toward him? Third thing, if Jesus forgave a person like the thief on the cross, he will forgive you. There is tremendous grace and mercy for you and me in this story. He loves us in spite of our shameful acts. So let's celebrate. And let us pray. And I invite you to pray that prayer that the thief on the cross prayed. Right now, pray, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, please help me to love you and lost people, to have compassion, kindness, to show your love to those you came to reach. Help me be loving toward the lost. Oh Lord, how grateful we are that you came to save us, heal us. I pray that you will help us to be the kind of church that welcomes people who are hurting or have made mistakes or feel far from you, people who may not even be aware that they are lost. Lord, help our church to be a place where lost become found and draw us near in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us reach new people for Jesus and his kingdom. You can go online using the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus said his mission was to seek and to save the lost. That includes you and me and everyone. For now, who do you know that needs to know this same love of Jesus that changes lives?
Hey, bro. Do you want a pamphlet?
Yeah, bro, sure.
In April, as part of First Wednesday, we'll host Christ in the Passover, an interactive experience. Join us for a sensory exploration of the beautiful Jewish ceremony called Seder. All are welcome for this unforgettable and thought-provoking experience.
Jesus calls each one of us to make disciples, but there are a lot of people who don't know where to begin. Pastor Jim will show you how in a 7-week class using the book Growing in Christ. Classes start March 26th.
Full Circle Worship meets on the second Wednesday and fourth Sunday of the month. Full Circle is an interactive experience beginning with worship and ending in small groups. Join us. Grab a cup of coffee. You won't want to miss it. Our next Full Circle is March 26th.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.